It's Thursday, January 31st, 2008. I'm Kevin Grau, and I'm speaking this morning with E. Mitchell Robe, Jr. for the IU School of Medicine History Project. Mr. Robe, before we get started, while the focus on for this interview is primarily Health and Hospital Corporation and its role with the IU School of Medicine in the mid-1990s, future use of the interview, if you could just share a few bits of biography about your life before accepting the position as president of Health and Hospital.
I grew up in Chicago, Illinois, or northern suburb of that. My father was a banker. My mother, school board president. We were involved. My father worked for the Nixon administration at one point as an undersecretary of the Treasury. Lived through the tumult that was the resignation of the president, and as a kid, and Jerry Ford's inauguration. So I was involved in politics and government at an early age. Watched it both at the local level with my mom and the national level with my father. Went to DePauw in Greencastle, Indiana. An undergraduate degree in history and political science, went to Notre Dame to get a business degree after working in politics and policy in Illinois. Moved here, did management consulting for a number of years for a small strategy firm, did strategy around the country. And then in 1991, met Steve Goldsmith, who was then running for mayor of Indianapolis. He was talking about making government run more like a business, and I thought that was a worthy cause. And so became involved in that campaign as a volunteer and ended up becoming the director of transportation and then public works. Ran what was then called the Building Better Neighborhoods campaign, which is the effort to rebuild infrastructure in the city of Indianapolis. And then did that for 2 years, did a number of big transactions. And then was ready to leave city government, told the mayor that I was leaving, and he said, you're going to Health and Hospital Corporation. I said, I don't know even what it is, and I have no interest in healthcare and no desire to go out there. And before I knew it, I was the president of the corporation and was in the role of running Health and Hospital Corporation. So it was really one of, if not the best experience of my professional career.
When Mayor Goldsmith was elected and coming into office after Mayor Hudden's administration, was the perception at the time that this was a major transition between two administrations, or was it perceived as going to be an era of continuity?
It was a pretty dramatic change from a Republican establishment to a kind of outsider Republican who viewed government much differently than the Hudnut administration had done. The Goldsmith administration felt that we could run government many people in the Goldsmith administration, to some degree, including myself, felt that government had been run Republican Party in Indianapolis, and that certain compromises were made for the benefit of individuals and benefit of the party that did not benefit the taxpayers as a whole or Indianapolis. And so we fought to change a lot of those things, and were at least in the near term successful in doing that.
He said that when you entered the administration early on, you were involved with Building Better Neighborhoods, which was a major initiative in the Goldsmith administration. Had that been something he had run on and had been something that you had viewed as an important part of his administration from the beginning?
He hadn't. The Chamber of Commerce had presented to both Mayor Goldsmith and to Senator Mayhern, who was the Democrat candidate for mayor at the time, something called the GIFT Report, which stood for Getting Indianapolis Fit for Tomorrow, which was, I'm shocked that I still remember the name of it, which outlined the infrastructure deficit of the city. And so it was clear that the business community wanted that addressed and neighborhood organizations wanted that addressed. It really called for a transition from a building program to a maintenance and project in the way we dealt with infrastructure in the city of Indianapolis. And then you had to fund enormous quantities of street resurfacing, and there were sidewalks in the inner city that had not had any attention paid to them since the Roosevelt administration, the Teddy Roosevelt administration. And so we spent a lot of time rebuilding a lot of infrastructure at the neighborhood level. And we spent some money rebuilding infrastructure, road infrastructure, at the kind of aggregate level. But most of our money, most of our effort was spent on neighborhood projects. And then we spent a fair amount of time on water, on sewer issues, which needed to be addressed and are still a problem in Indianapolis today.
You said earlier that you were getting ready to leave the administration when Mayor Goldsmith suggested that you may want to move over to health and hospitalization. At that time, what was the rationale he articulated for why he wanted you to move over to health and hospital?
Because it was a problem. I mean, he convinced me to do it because it was a problem worth fixing. So I agreed to do it.
As you understood it at the time, what were the dimensions of that problem? What were the really difficult areas that Health and Hospital faced?
Well, I mean, we had a growing, the Health and Hospital Corporation operates, and still to this day operates, as at best the health or hospital corporation. So there are really kind of two sides to the operation. There's the hospital side, which is Wishart, et cetera, and the health department. At the time, Indianapolis had the highest infant mortality rate in the country on a per capita basis, and so that needed to be addressed. And Health and Hospital Corporation was not, at the time, really getting that job done at the level of effectiveness that we wished it to occur. In addition to that, Wishart's operating income was moving into the black, and they were losing the obstetrical patients because they weren't which is how safety net hospitals survive, because they get dish payments based on inpatient Medicaid births or inpatient Medicaid days, and the advantage of a birth is that you get two for the price of one, so to speak. you get a new one when you come in with one and you leave with at least two, yeah, sometimes more. And so that inflates your numbers pretty substantially. So Wishart had lost 40% of their obstetrical of their births, so that needed to be addressed. And there was a general sense at the time that that Wishart needed a new tower and needed to be rebuilt as a centralized physical facility, and that was not what we wanted to see taxpayer money being spent on. We didn't want to see it being spent on building a new inpatient tower at 10th and Indiana. We wanted to see it built. We wanted to see those dollars allocated to building community assets, neighborhood assets, and so we wanted to build a network of what became Wishart Healthcare clinics out in the neighborhoods, which didn't. Wishart, if you were sick in Indianapolis and you could get to Wishart, you got great care, but there was no effective outreach at that point in time into the community. So we needed to make a number of changes in that respect, and that's what I was kind of sent to do.
So when you arrived at Health and Hospital and had a chance to sort of see how it operated, what did you see as the primary challenges to transforming the the way Wishart delivered care and moving it out into the neighborhoods?
The primary issue first of all, it's important to remember, when I got there, I was 32 years old and looked like I was 25. So I looked like I should have been a med school student for a bunch of guys who were in the, in what became, I think, for them, a very engaging, I don't mean Twilight in a bad way, but it was Jack Williams, for instance. It was Jack Williams' last real job was at Wishart Hospital. That's where he finished his career. And Joe Mamlin then went on to Kenya afterwards. So those guys didn't care for the idea that I would be there at all. Dr. Daly initially resented my engagement in the hospital. And so it was pretty contentious, really, about who was going to direct the strategy of the hospital. It wasn't at all clear that, even though I had the title as president of the corporation, that I would be directing what we chose to do. And frankly, you know, if I were in those guys' shoes, I'm sure that I would have reacted similarly. This was a guy who had built roads and knew something about manufacturing, but didn't know the first thing about healthcare, and was here to tell me what I ought to do to treat poor people. Well, I've been treating poor people my whole life. I don't need him to tell me how to do it. So it really took a great effort on Joe and Jack's part to put aside their understandable age chauvinism, and then find a way to see how they could work with me using marginally different tactics to accomplish what ultimately ended up being a very clearly shared goal.
One of the, you know, it was a radical shift in Wishart's sensibility and in the medical school sensibility about Wishart, because for the past 20 years, the institutional norm at the medical school had been about consolidating services and building the medical center and, you know, integrating teaching, research, clinical practice. You begin working with them in 1994. How long did it take for that sort of trust to build between you and particularly Jack Williams and Joe Mamlin, so that you could build towards this common vision of this shared goal of better care delivery?
At least 2 years. And intervened in that 2 years was a very contentious Clarion fight that I led the effort to stop Clarion merger from occurring, because I thought the university had essentially disregarded a contractual relationship they had with Wishart that called for them to enter into a discussion about a asset and governance structure. We were going down a path with them to merge essentially the physical and financial assets of the two organizations in some way. We weren't sure how it would end up, but we were about two-thirds of the way down the path to creating that model, and then President Brand announced that they were going to do a deal with Methodist Hospital in Indianapolis, and Wishart was not to be a part of that transaction. And so, my job was to defend Wishart and the taxpayer of Marion County, and it became by Indiana standards, it became a pretty contentious fight.
Since that fight sort of intervened at the moment when this care delivery discussion was started, take a step back. You're in the presidency of Health and Hospital. You have responsibility for Wishart. Hospital mergers are coming along rapid fire nationally in the mid-90s. And also at the same time, many public hospitals are being shuttered, closed down. Within Health and Hospital and within Marion County, at the time, you know, 1994, 1996, were there serious discussions about the future of Wishart and whether or not Marion County wanted to be in the process of, as it's sometimes called, manufacturing care versus just buying care?
Making versus buying care? Yeah, there were very serious conversations about the make versus buy choice. At the time,